Welcome to worship at Advent this morning. I'm glad that you're here. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour out upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things for which we are not worthy to ask, except through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated.
While the current conditions of the people of God may be dire, God promises through the words of his prophet Habakkuk that restoration will come. A reading from the book of the prophet Habakkuk. The oracle that Habakkuk, the prophet, received. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwelling places not their own. O Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, we will not die. O Lord, you have appointed them to execute judgment. O Rock, you have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The psalm appointed for today is Psalm 37. It is found on page 4 in your bulletin. We will read in unison. Put your trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on its riches. Take delight in the Lord, and he shall give you your heart's desire. Commit your ways to the Lord and put your trust in him, and he will bring it to pass. He will make your righteousness as clear as the light and your just dealing as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret yourself over the one who prospers, the one who succeeds in evil schemes. Refrain from anger. Leave rage alone. Do not fret yourself. It only leads to evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord shall possess the land. Everyday reality of living as a follower of Jesus may be less romantic than expected, but the value of holiness is priceless. A reading from the second letter of Paul to Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner. But join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Gospel of our Lord according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Before I read from Luke, we heard from Habakkuk that the prophet doesn't understand what a difficult life it is. Why don't you intervene when there's injustice? But it was a season of judgment on Israel. How do we respond? In the psalm, the first verse is, "Put your trust in the Lord and do good." You might not understand it. Just put your trust in the Lord. And in Timothy, Paul says to this young man that he is mentoring, I believe that what I have in the Lord, that he's going to see it through, and in the end, I'll receive what he's promised. Sometimes we go through really challenging times in our life. How do we deal with this? In the gospel, starting at verse 5 in Luke 17, that kind of thought continues. In the first part of 17, Jesus is talking about forgiveness. And he says, if your brother sins or offends you and he comes and repents, forgive him. And if he offends you seven times and comes back and repents, forgive him. And that's where today's lesson kicks in. It's wonderful, starting at verse 5. After all of that, now, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. In other words, we're supposed to do what? Continue in 6. And the Lord says, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, and think of Jesus pointing that, to that tree right here. You would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Which of you, having a slave, plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come immediately and sit down and eat? But will he not say to him, prepare something for me to eat and properly clothe yourself and serve me while I eat and drink, and then afterward you may eat and drink? He does not thank the slave because he did the things which were commanded, does he? So you too, when you do all the things which are commanded, you say, we're unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Notice that Dar isn't here this week on the piano. I had offered to sit in for her. Right you are. What I was about to say is all I know is chopsticks, and so. But Bruce is actually covering both parts, and that's wonderful. So this morning, I want to focus on the gospel, and as I share it, I would like you to imagine that I'm speaking just to you. Don't worry about other people. Just see if this applies to you. I believe that it will. I want to read the 2 verses, 5 and 6, from the Message, which is a paraphrase. And it says, the Gospels came up and said to the Master, give us more faith. But the Master said, you don't need more faith. There is no more or less in faith. If you have a bare kernel of faith, say the size of a poppy seed, you shall say to this sycamore tree, go jump in the lake, and it would do it. The concept of mustard seed faith, the mustard seed was the tiniest seed in that day that was known. And the concept of faith, doing what I believe God says, is obedience. So it's a combination of faith and obedience. Yesterday I was reading in the paper, actually online, about the killing of the young man in Dallas some time ago by an off-duty police officer. And she had gone to trial. She'd been found guilty, sentenced for 10 years. And the 18-year-old brother of the man who was killed asked for permission to speak, but also to give the lady, before she was taken away, to give her a hug. And to me, that just an unbelievable step. And then he says to her, if you're truly sorry, I know I can speak for myself. I forgive you. I hope you go to God with all the guilt, all the bad things you may have done in the past. And if you go to God and ask him, he will forgive you. At a moment of such pain in the family, his older brother is taken away from him, but yet this young man, barely a young adult, has a mustard seed of faith and says, in effect, in spite of what I feel, I forgive you. Doesn't want bitterness to grow. And that's a part of what Jesus is saying to us in the gospel this morning. Mustard seed faith. It's a tiny beginning that has tremendous results. We all have issues that we maybe haven't dealt with. Areas of our lives where we feel like we have been offended, like the apostles. Yes, yes. And the person comes and says, I'm wrong, would you forgive me? Yes, 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 yes. But then he comes and does the same thing again and again and again. and I'm still supposed to forgive that person? And the apostle's response when Jesus says yes is, Lord, increase our faith. I don't have that level of faith. And Jesus said, just a tiny seed of faith does it. Jesus spoke of the need of each of us to forgive the person who offends. Some of you have been in church for many years. Some of you are newer. You know people that have been in this church or other churches, maybe a pastor, maybe me, that has offended you, and it festers. It just bothers you on the inside. It's a family member who continues to harass in a way that you just don't think is right. And Jesus' thing is, if you have this much faith, if you believe in me, just be obedient and do what I say, which is to release that person. Doesn't mean that there isn't pain, but it means that you are not holding it against that person. One of the things that's true about faith, think about the 18-year-old in Dallas. Faith doesn't do away with difficult circumstances. You are dealing with the impact it has on you. The pain is still there, but forgiveness changes your perspective, the impact that it has on you. In this passage, and I have been meditating on this most of the week, Jesus talks about a mulberry tree. And he doesn't talk about any mulberry tree. He says, this mulberry tree. He might have been teaching next to one. In the Middle East of that day, the mulberry tree was durable. It was tough. It grew in the desert in a place where it was hard to grow things. They would grow to be 30 feet tall with a root system that was unbelievable. But here's the key. The number one use for the lumber from the mulberry tree was to make coffins. And the moment that Jesus says, this mulberry tree, the people understood that he was talking about death. And the implication is really clear that if you don't forgive, it'll bring death to your life. But if you do forgive, if you have that minute amount of faith that the Dallas young man did, you can say to this thing that has been growing inside of you for a long time, be gone, and it'll be cast into the sea, root system and all. And that's a powerful picture to understand. James 1:15 says, when sin is finished, it brings forth death. That if you don't deal with it, it'll kill you. And so we're talking actually not simply blessing someone else, but bringing freedom to ourselves. In the few moments that I've talked some for so far, I am almost positive that in each one of your heads, someone has come up in your mind, someone that has offended you in the past. And the question is, have you dealt with them? Have you brought release for yourself and for that person? Doesn't mean that there isn't pain, but are you allowing that pain to fester inside of you in such a way that it ultimately leads to death, like the mulberry tree? It's a powerful thing to understand. The mulberry tree, it was larger in the ground because of its root system than it was above the ground because it was so difficult to find water. But it would go to those deep sources of water, and so no matter what was happening on the semi-arid surface of the land, the root system would hold. And when a mulberry tree was harvested, cut off with just a stump left, it doesn't mean that the thing was dead because of that root system. It could spring back up in weeks and months to come. It grew very quickly. And likewise, in our lives with bitterness and unforgiveness, yes, I've forgiven him or her. Of course I have. I've whacked that thing off. But unless you deal with the roots, it'll spring back up, it'll come back, and it'll lead to lack of peace. It'll lead to a place where you do not experience God's joy and grace in your life. It's an amazing illustration that Jesus uses. The mulberry tree and unforgiveness. It's one of those things that if you don't deal with it, it will deal with you. If you don't bring freedom to yourself through forgiveness, it will bring death to you. Not eternal death, that's a separate issue. We have salvation through Jesus, but there's also a death in our lives if we don't release grace and peace and forgiveness to other people. In Hebrews 12:15, it says, "See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many may be defiled." I want to real briefly talk to you about what for me is probably my most challenging issue ever to deal with, unforgiveness. And it was when we had planted our church on Long Island. My closest friend at the time had spread lies about me in the church community that led to the church just about collapsing. What he had said wasn't true. I confronted him about it. Didn't matter. That's what I believe. It brought pain to our children. Because of these stories, our children were literally shunned by other families in the church. It was just such a difficult time. And it took a battle for me. This was my best friend. He now was an enemy. And as a result of all this, we ended up moving back to Ohio. The church went on, but we had to leave. And it was one of those things that I would sit in church on Sunday mornings. I could not pray because I had this picture of this gentleman, we'll call him Bob, in my head every time I started to pray. And so I began to understand that for his sake, but even more for my sake, I needed to forgive him. He had impacted my family. He had impacted my ability to support my family. But remember what we heard in the psalm, and this is a part of what was so helpful to me. The first verse in the psalm that was read, "Put your trust in the Lord and do good." That this will really end up good if you put your trust in God no matter what happens. And as I began to forgive, it took me a period of about 3 months to understand that God and his plan for my life was greater than what anyone else could do. So I trusted the Lord, began to do good in spite of the circumstances, and I understood that now my life was no longer being harnessed to these lies. My life was being tied in with the Lord and his purpose and plan for our family. And by God's grace, we were provided for. It led to one of the most exciting eras of my life, of our family, of service and fruitfulness that could never have happened if the pain hadn't happened. So you trust in the Lord and you do good. Jesus said in the verses before, if someone offends you, forgive them. And this was a case where this person was long gone. But still, I forgave and released and blessed. And now many, many years later, there's not an issue at all of unforgiveness, because what happened there was a time when God deepened his walk, or my walk with him, and as a result, allowed me to serve him in ways that I never would have if that hadn't happened. So it's so important that we understand that if I have this much faith, God, I believe that you saved me, and because of that, I believe that I can trust you enough to forgive this person, my Bob, whoever your Bob is. It may be Bobette. But whoever it is so important, because it affects our spiritual and physical health when we don't forgive, when we allow bitterness to set in. Remember again Hebrews, "See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up causing trouble, and by it many be defiled." I was falling short of the grace of God by not forgiving. That's on Paul. That's not on God's grace. So I encourage you, wherever you are with your past, that if a name of someone, a face of someone has come up while I have been talking, that could be God saying to you, you need to forgive and release for that person's sake as well as your own. Because as those fast-growing attitudes and judgments grow like the fast-growing mulberry tree, it impacts every part of our life. And let me stress the point. It's important. If you permit bitterness and unforgiveness to grow in your life, it won't be long until your joy is wilted, until your peace with God is gone. A Danish philosopher, Kierkegaard, said this, talking about what Jesus said this morning. It's hard to believe, not because it's hard to understand, but because it's hard to obey. You love the Lord. In just a moment, we'll confess our faith. But are you doing what the Lord says to do? Not just on Sunday morning when we will confess our sins again, but also in those times when you understand that you're not free. Those are times in which you need to say to God, God, I release and forgive that person for their sake as well as for my sake. So in obedience, I forgive my brother. I trust that you have forgiven me for my past, for my sinfulness. And with that little seed of faith, I trust you enough to say, I release Bob to you in the same way that you have released forgiveness to me. And I want to close with this passage from Lamentations written by Jeremiah. He is talking about all the struggles that there are that he sees in the land, and it seems as though there's judgment all around. Then in Lamentations 3, 21 through 23, he says, this I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. His faithfulness is great, and therefore in faith we can obey him. It will bring joy to you, and it'll increase your ability to be an effective witness for him. Let's now do what I talked about. Let's stand together and confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Prayers of the people for today are found on page 6, and we will be using form 6. In peace, we pray to you, Lord God, for all the people in their daily life and work, for our families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are alone. For this community, the nation, and the world. For all who work for justice, freedom, and peace. For the just and proper use of your creation. For the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression. For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble, remembering those on our prayer list and asking for her continued prayers. For those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy. For the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth.
For Archbishop Welby, our presiding Bishop Curry, our own bishops, Hollingsworth and Love, and for all bishops and other ministers, in particular Pastor Paul. For all who serve God in his church. For the special needs and concerns of this congregation. Hear us, Lord, for your mercy is great. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life. We will exalt you, O God, our King,
and praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died, that they may have a peace in your eternal kingdom. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them who put their trust in you. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we pray with open hearts and minds to know your will for us. Reveal to us the initiatives we should take for nourishing ourselves with your word, for supporting each other in Christian fellowship, for taking the gospel to outside communities, and for loving and serving others in the power of your Spirit. We are grateful for the pastoral encouragement you have provided us in this season. We are grateful for our lay leadership in their shouldering of extra burdens. Lord, we ask that you lay the hearts of this congregation and open each one of us to every new day. Open us to what you have for our future as a new church family in Christ. Amen. We pray to you also for the forgiveness of sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, in your compassion, forgiveness of sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. And so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthening you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. The peace of the Lord be with you. Now let's share that with one another.
I should be able to pick her up. I just need to go.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You youngster, you.
I have the dubious honor of being Dick and Ray. Having said that, I'm going to dispense with most of the announcements to make it easier and push it all on him. One of the things that we have coming up on the 14th of this month is a benefit for Wendy Joy's husband, or excuse me, Wendy Johnston's husband. It's at Firelands High School in the cafeteria from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. This is to benefit the family to cover the medical expenses that they're going to go through. So we encourage you to go to that. It's the same night that I'm doing Men's Night Out. So if you choose, gentlemen, to go to the Johnson's benefit, please do. I encourage you to do so. It leaves more beer for me. So please go to the benefit. We also have coming up Tuesday night, the West Shore Healing Room. From 7 to 8:30, this is for physical and emotional healing. If you so choose to go to that, please do. We encourage you. This is something that the vestry is encouraging. Also, the praise community, which is coming up on Wednesday nights, which Paul and his brother Finn are a part of. That is a non-denominational service, and again, this is something that the vestry is encouraging you to go to. Beyond that, peace be with you.
Wasn't Peter's imitation of Dick really good? It's the first Sunday of the month. This is the day that we honor birthdays and anniversaries. Any birthdays here today? You don't have to get up. Oh, okay. And when is your birthday?
The 31st.
The 31st. All righty. Just made it into October. Guys, want to introduce yourselves and when your birthday is?
Hi, I'm Kaylee. My birthday is October 20th, and I will be 20.
I'm Peter Beckus. I will be 73.
Holy cow. Wonderful. So there are a few people in the world who are younger than me. Hey. I mean, rather older than me. Most of the world is younger than me. So let's pray a blessing. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing on these folks as they celebrate you in their life and adding another year onto their legacy. We ask your blessing and protection and health on them this year. We ask that in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Any anniversaries this month who are here? I read about yours, John. Why don't you come up and tell us why you're smiling? Yes.
John Cotter and Ann Meldrum, and we were married about 14 years ago. And Ann will tell you the day that we were married.
Look at the boy. Make him try and figure it out.
But the good news is they're still smiling at each other. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing on Anne and John, that you would continue to knit them together in a way that will be a testimony to others and bring joy to their lives. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may kiss the bride.
Such fun. And then after the service, we get to have cake and coffee. So make sure that you stay for that. Now, as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, let's present our offerings to him.
Thank you.
We continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the first day of the week overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened up to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to them and said, "Take and eat of this bread, for this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, after he'd given thanks, he took into his hands the cup and said to them, "Take and drink of this cup, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. I just want to interrupt us just for a moment before I continue with the prayer. You know, I have the privilege of lifting up the cup on your behalf. And the way that it is in this sanctuary, when I lift it up, it feels as though from the stained glass window, there's a touch from heaven that comes down with a blessing of renewal as we prepare for the Lord's Supper. And to me, that's a very special thing that architecturally was built into this sanctuary. We continue. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace, and at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Let's pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
The gifts of God are for the people of God. I invite you to come in faith and receive. Please join me now in the post-communion prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit guard and keep you. Amen.
Amen.
Enthusiastically go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.